Centre Greenwich. You're the principal of Debt Centre Greenwich, whatever your title is, or she is rather the servant of Debt Centre Greenwich because she ministers to so many people. So let's just pray and then we're going to hear more about that work. Lord, we want to thank you for Leanne. I want to thank you for her servant heart, the way she reaches out to our community with your love in a very practical, skilled way. Lord, we thank you for her work in Greenwich, and we thank you for this charity that works all over the UK, helping those that are in a needy situation. Lord, I ask that you will equip her even more to meet the needs through you of our neighbours that need help at this time. But we also pray for this organisation, Christians Against Poverty. We thank you for every member who is a volunteer or a paid worker serving their community. And we pray, Lord, that money would come in to sustain this charity. We pray for strength for every member. And we pray for your love to be shed forth in every conversation that they have to bring help. We commit them to you and ask that you will bless this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. It's a bit wobbly.
Oh, thank you. Right, hello everyone. Is it on? Yes, please. So today I've got my novelty cardigan. I know that Steve does novelty suits, I do novelty cardigans. And this one has got, if you can see what it's got on it.
What has it got on it? Money.
But it's actually got smiley faces. It's dollar signs, but the reason why we have it on is some people say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what it actually says in the Bible. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And one of the things that we do at CAP is to teach people how to use money for good and how to manage money and have a financial education so that they can sustain themselves and carry on. So today we're going to go through a little bit about what we do at Christians Against Poverty. This is the this is CAP Sunday, so all across the UK there will be people like myself sharing the same story to you today about what CAP's doing. But I've also put in a section about what we're doing here in Greenwich and what we've seen happen within the borough. So I just want you to have a think about what the biggest crowd of people you've ever seen or you've ever been a part of. Just think about that. Maybe it was a sporting event or a music festival or perhaps even a rally. And if you think about local to us, we've got the O2. If you don't know, Madonna is playing at the O2 last night, tonight, and also Tuesday and Wednesday. So you can imagine the amount of people that have gone to see Madonna and she's singing all of her hits for the last 40 years. So a huge crowd of people can be quite an incredible sight. Is it doing it? There we go. A vast sea of faces, picture the pyramid stage at the Glastonbury Festival or a packed Wembley Stadium or a football cup final. It's hard to grasp these numbers involved in these enormous gatherings, but these crowds represent only a fraction of the millions of people in the UK who are currently trapped in poverty. With the cost of living, eye-watering levels and incomes not matching the poverty, it's creeping into more and more households. In fact, 13.4 million people are living in poverty in the UK today. According to research from the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, that's enough people to fill over 150 Wembley stadiums. Imagine such a vast crowd of people. For anyone who has never experienced it, it's easy to hear the word poverty and wonder what it actually means. CAP's Director of External Affairs, Gareth McNabb, explains poverty very simply, but equally starkly. He says poverty is when you don't have enough income to be able to afford what you need for life. So just listen to the news and you quickly become aware of the brutal impact. And it's no secret that people are having to routinely choose between a meal or heating the water to have a wash. They simply can't afford both. Here are some of the stats. CAP recently commissioned a YouGov poll to find out more about the reality of living in poverty in the UK. And according to this poll, 16 million people have been forced to skip meals recently due to the costs. That's a quarter of the population. It's also found out that half of the adults, 25 million people, went without heating at some point last winter as they couldn't afford the rising costs of energy. You may be able to relate to some of this. We're all trying to save money where we can at the moment, but many are finding themselves in these impossible situations every day. The YouGov poll found that 6 million people, that's one in every 11 people, have gone without heat on a daily basis as a result of poverty. The never-ending pressure of financial insecurity has a detrimental impact on people's mental health and their well-being. And it means that even a small unexpected cost can just push people over the edge into the problem of debt. This could be something as simple as the fridge freezer going, or the oven, or even the washing machine. The numbers are huge, so huge that it's hard for us to put them into perspective. We know that God calls us the church. I think the heating's going to pack up. So we know that God calls us, the church, to serve those in need. It says that in Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. But with such vast crowds before us, it can be hard to know how to respond constructively. To help consider this, I want us to take us back a couple of years, well, actually a couple of thousand years, to a small rural location by the Sea of Galilee. It's a well-known miracle. It's about Jesus feeding 5,000 people. And it's in Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. Can't see over the microphone. So when Jesus heard that this had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed those that were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came up to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. And he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. So in this story, Jesus too is confronted by a vast crowd of people. And the passage tells us that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. And most scholars agree that the size of the crowd would have been in excess of 20,000 people. As we read through these Gospels, we also discover that this crowd was full of people who were broken, hurting, and outcast. They were people searching for healing, hope, and meaning. Not dissimilar to the large part of the UK population today. At this point, it's worth noting that Jesus, in the middle of his early ministry, had just learned the death of his relative, John the Baptist. And so he was taking some time out to grieve for himself. For Matthew 14, 13 to 14 says this. When Jesus heard all this had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. People were so desperate to encounter Jesus, to receive his healing and to hear his teaching and experience the hope that he gave. And they travelled in their masses to meet him. Jesus' response to their arrival to the vast multitudes was rather remarkable. He had a sense of the coming crowd, and he didn't turn a blind eye or he didn't sneak off to the top of the hill for some me time. He could be forgiven for doing this. After all, he was grieving the loss of a family member. I don't know about you, but when confronted with the crowd of people experiencing debt and poverty today, it can be really tempting to turn a blind eye or to pass it off to somebody else as someone else's problem. Jesus does neither of these things. Jesus faces the crowd, takes note of the crowd, and allows the interruption into his life. Jesus did more than notice the crowd. He could have acknowledged their struggle and he could have sympathized with them while continuing on his way, but the Bible says he had compassion on them. This word compassion is used multiple times throughout the Gospels to describe Jesus and his actions towards those who are marginalized and suffering. In Luke 7, for example, Jesus sees a widow mourning the loss of her son and is moved by compassion. He acts by raising the woman's son back to life. One way to interpret the word compassion is to say that Jesus' heart went out to them. However, it's more an accurate translation that it was more raw, meaning that he was moved within the inward parts. In the society of Jesus' time on earth, compassion was said to be filled deeply within the person's internal organs, within their intestines. So when Jesus saw that the crowd was desperately suffering, he was moved not only with a soft feeling of sadness, but a deep, gut-wrenching pain. The ancient world had an attitude to this deep raw compassion as being rare, and it wasn't something that was admirable. Saint Augustine quoted the ancient Stoic philosopher Seneca by saying, "Compassion is the vice of a feeble soul." In this way, as in many others, Jesus takes the conventional beliefs of the day and flips them upside down. When God came to live in the world as the person of Jesus, he came in to enter without measure into the pain and the suffering of those who needed him most. Jesus' example here is important. As followers, we can allow his example of love to transform us. We must become those who are not only noticing people's pain and suffering, but who have a deep, stirring compassion for them. Like Jesus, we must see the crowd, the millions across the UK who are struggling with poverty, as a group of precious, loved individual souls, each created in God's image with their own unique story to tell. And today I'd like to introduce you to one of those precious individuals. This is Melinda, who has shared her experiences of living under the cruel weight of debt and poverty.
The cost of living in the UK is rising, and it's changing people's lives.
So many people skipping meals is a sobering
thing. That a third of employers are likely to make redundancies over the next year.
The average household energy bill could surge above £4,200.
I'm 62 years young. I was born in Barbados. I have a mental health issue. And when my boys were very young, I got very ill and I was laid off work. I think if you've got a mental health label, people don't take you seriously. I was getting £64 a week to feed and clothe myself and my children. I had to choose between buying something as simple as a bra. I didn't buy, because I would have to pay like the gas or the electric. The few things that I had started to break down. My fridge, my cooker, my television, and my washing machine all broke down within a week. And I went against my own principle of saving up. So I ran up over £2,000. I was also borrowing money from family members, seesawing between paying my bills and not having enough to live on. Sometimes I couldn't sleep at night because I was thinking, oh, I've got this to pay, I've got that to pay, and will the debt collectors be coming round, you know? The anxiety as to how will this play out was very real. I have had suicidal tendencies in the past, and my future never seemed set. I suddenly felt, because of my bills and because of my mental health situation, I was never going to make it, that I'm no good. I was very fortunate because the doctor I was seeing suggested Wimbledon Guild, and they recommended me to CAP. And when I contacted the number that they gave me, I spoke to Peter, and Peter was very, very helpful, very kind. And we went through the process that to get me out of debt, have all my bills and everything taken care of. And then one day he invited me to the church, and I went along. I was in awe because people were coming up to you and talking to you as though you were not a stranger, as though you were part of the family. And it's so uplifting. I really feel that I've come home, and I'm very glad to say that now I'm debt free. And at first it didn't seem real because I had been struggling with my bills for a couple of years, more than a couple of years. To know that they had sorted it out in 3 months and that I didn't have to worry, it was such a relief. Oh, I can't tell you, I was so happy. Working with CAP has given me a desire to do better. I've actually started going to college, and I'm learning maths and IT. Peter encouraged me to become a befriender.
Having you there and saying, well, actually, I've recently gone through this process myself, it's a real comfort to other people to actually hear that, yes, you can, you know, you can get through the process and come to a place of flourishing.
Totally different point of view now. I'm looking forward to see what tomorrow will bring and what the future will hold. I'm feeling comfortable in myself and in my place with God. It has to be the work of God, because there was no way out, but God has made a way.
Across the UK, millions like Melinda are trapped under the crushing weight of debt and poverty, facing a future without hope. Together, we must fight to end poverty and its cruel impact on people's lives. As the cost of living crisis continues, there is no time to lose. With a gift of just £12, you can help provide the support that someone like Melinda needs to start afresh. Church, let's put Jesus' compassion into action and end UK poverty together.
Thank you. So that was Melinda's story. And she.
The cost of living in the UK is rising, and it's changing people's lives.
If you notice, she was from London. When I hear her story, it reminds me of the people that we've helped, the faces that I see in my heart as I pray for them all, and the work that we do. And Melinda found hope and transformation through the compassion of her local church, who saw her struggle and they took action. Melinda is just one of the individuals from the crowd of millions today who are in urgent need of compassion, the compassion of Jesus, to help them fight poverty and in a situation. As Jesus followers, we're invited. We're invited. In fact, we are called to be part of this solution today. Just as he called his disciples to be part of the solution on the shores of Galilee all those years ago. So going back to Matthew 14, there we go. We can see that Jesus didn't feed people all by himself, even though he could have done it alone. He asked disciples to deliver the food for him. Matthew 14, 15 to 19 says, "As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food for themselves.' Jesus replied, 'They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only five loaves of bread and two fishes,' they said. 'Bring them here to me,' he said. And as he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and it was the disciples that then gave it to the people. After a day of healing the sick, Jesus draws close. He draws close to his disciples, and he decides to send them. And then the disciples, we see, decides to send the people away. They look at the situation before them. At the end of a long day, there are thousands of hungry people in a solitary place. And they conclude the best thing to do is to send the people away and buy food for themselves. In that moment, they didn't see themselves as part of the solution. Jesus, however, sees things differently. He sees that for those who follow him, to sit back and feed themselves is not an option. They are challenging to trust Jesus and to step into that compassionate action towards the crowd. Jesus invites them to be part of the solution, saying, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus graciously challenges his disciples, empowering them to step up, take the plate, and exercise their faith, and to meet the immediate practical needs of the people before them. So the disciples don't have much to give materially, but they do manage to muster up only five loaves and two fish. But when they bring what little they have, the miracle work in Jesus, he becomes more than enough. Not only to his followers, they learn indirectly about Jesus' heart for his people, but a heart that notices and feels deep with compassion. They are now being shown something extraordinary, that when they accept Jesus' invitation to step out in faith and to put his compassion into action, it's then that the miraculous thing happened. So how does Kat respond to this? Jesus' heart of compassion is central to the work of Christians Against Poverty. This is known as CAP. We've heard talk about this all the time. We talk about CAP all the time. It's been going for 27 years. And it's been committed to noticing the multitude of people crushed under the weight of debt and poverty. They've allowed themselves to move deep with compassion and compelled each person that has come to work with them to join in Jesus in the most challenging times. CAP wants to see lives transformed. He wants to see thriving churches, and he wants to see an end to UK poverty. It's quite an easy vision, really, isn't it? End UK poverty. But we've been trying to end UK poverty for years and years. It's not actually changed ever in our lifetime and in our parents' lifetimes. In fact, the percentages are more or less the same. So where does this leave us? We've talked about it nationally, but we have a CAP debt centre. We've got one here in Greenwich. Beverly and I go out every day, and we do this work. And for those of you who don't know, Debt Centre Greenwich was set up by a collaboration of the churches together in Greenwich. not only with the churches together, also with the food bank. They met with Mike and the church leaders for them, and they saw a surge in the needs of the food bank. And the food bank was running out of food, and they needed to meet the reason why people were going to the food bank. I went along to that meeting, and it was there that God touched my heart, because I watched videos like Melinda's. I watched a whole load of videos like Melinda's. I spent a whole afternoon watching them. And the reason why my nose is running is because I get moved by it, because I just couldn't stop crying. Because I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to do something for God. I didn't know what it was going to be. And he showed me people like Melinda and people in my own community. And I thought, how can I deal with debt? What can I do? He said, just trust me, you can do it. And it's no secret that I wanted to get involved in chaplaincy. In fact, one of the things I wanted to do when I left my job was to go into hospital chaplaincy and train as a chaplain. But there was more of a need in my local community to be a community chaplain. And that's what I say I am. I don't say I'm a CEO, because I don't like that title for me, because I don't want anybody to think of me up here, because I'm not up here. I'm down here. I'm in the mud. I'm in the dirt. I'm in people's homes. Okay, and what we do is we do a unique job. We go into people's homes and we meet them where they're at. We don't tell them what to do. We don't judge them. We don't even say you shouldn't be spending money on this, or what have you done over here, or you shouldn't be doing that. Even though sometimes it's really difficult, we can, like the disciples, think they can go and get their own food, they can go and get their own bits and pieces. But when you see people and they hang on your every word and they listen to you, it's really moving. And it's really moving because God can use you to give hope to someone. And that's what we bring at Debt Centre Greenwich. So we have established lots of links within the community. We're very well known by Greenwich Borough. I now go out and have meetings with them in the town hall, and I've actually been trained on how to do benefits. So not only do I do debts, I also do housing. I do PIP forms. We get people that we look at their benefits and we see what they're entitled to, because they don't know. Did you know that in London, £23,000 a year, if your salary is that or your pension is that, you are considered on a low income. If you're on that low income, did you know there was something called Water Help by Thames Water that will halve your water bill? Thames Water don't tell you about that. It's hidden in the back dark places of their web. We know about it. And we transform people's lives by signing it in, saying, yes, we've seen their paperwork. We know what their income is. We halve their bills just like that within a week. We clear their debts. We've seen so much success. We've been going for 2 years now. 3 years, if you think about the year that we set it up. And through our experiences, I just wanted to tell you some of the great things that we've done. So a bit like Martin Lewis, I tend to know where to go and what the money-saving tips are. So we have a whole list of things you can do and you can action to be able to get things cheaper or for free or for people living on a low income. We signpost our clients to activities in the local community. We've got a long list of organisations that provide free activities, especially for those with families. In the summer, there's lots of different things. There's the dance and thing that you do, the lark in the park, but there's also stuff we do in Greenwich too. But we also have things like cookery lessons. We provide the life skills course as well. We issue food bank vouchers to our clients in the local area, and people do come to us because they don't just want to know about... They come initially for food, but then they want to know a bit about what else we can do to help. And I actually spend time twice a week in Woolwich Food Bank and also in St John's Food Bank. And I sit there and I listen to people's problems and I help them where I can. We've also gone into the realms of what the Citizens Advice Bureau do. The difference between us and the Citizens Advice Bureau is they will tell you what to do. We'll sit down and we will do it with you. Some of our clients can't read or write. What do you do if you've got to write a letter to be able to get the money that you need? Some of our clients don't have access to the internet. So if they're on universal credit, they can't access their journals. And if you don't access your journal and you don't respond to something on your journal, which is an online portal, if you miss a letter or something and you don't go for an appointment, you get what's called a sanction. That means that you can have no money for an entire month. And that's where we see most of our clients come through to the food bank, because they've got no money. Their benefits have stopped. We challenge it. We try and get the sanctions stopped. We've seen a massive increase in people losing their homes. We had Homeless Sunday last week. We've been out and called out in times of crisis. Even if somebody's appointment is 3 months away, we've been told that they're going to be evicted at the end of the week. Can we rush in and help? Which we have done. There's been another surge with Section 20, which allows private landlords to just evict you for no fault at all. So you're paying your rent, there's nothing wrong with that. But what they're doing, because of furlough and because of when we were in lockdown, the government put something in place to stop landlords having to evict people. That's now been lifted. The cost of living is not just hitting those on the ground, it's hitting the middle classes. They can't afford their mortgages, so they're putting up the cost of their rent, and the clients can't pay it, and their housing benefit doesn't afford it. So what happens is they end up in a travel lodge. All their worldly goods are stuck in storage, and there's nothing that they can do for them. So we go out and we help them. And we try and get them affordable housing. We get them out of that situation and we put them back to where they need to be. So in the last year alone, let's give you some really good statistics. So between January and September this year, we managed to wipe out £44,471 worth of debt. It's quite a large number. But there's been a massive surge of debt relief orders across the country, and the government can't cope with it. Not just us, it's also people like Step Change. It's another organisation called, used to be called Debt Free London, which is down in Greenwich. It's now called Debt Advice, where everybody can go there. Again, these people will tell you what to do. You have to do it yourself. But we've all been in the same boat. There's been a pause on DROs. That's changed, and we're now beginning to reap the fruit of the work that we've been doing. So we've had another three that have cleared, and by the end of the year, we should have been on track, and we seem to be on track, to have cleared out a whopping £111,500 worth of debt. And that's us going into people's homes, working out what they can afford. And what we do is we make sure they can afford to live a good life. And then we look at the debt. And some of them, they can't afford to pay the debt back. So we either do a debt relief order or a full-blown bankruptcy. And that's cleared the debt. And they're free. They're free from all of that. And they can start learning to budget and to manage the money, which we teach them to do. And not only that, we share with them the gospel. So over there, you'll see there's a whole array of our leaflets and our books on how to get out of debt. We've also got the life skills books. But there's also some tracks there as well. So we I think it's a nice way of talking about physical debt and spiritual debt, but it's a nice way to share the gospel. And through sharing the gospel, and Beverly will say this, she never ever wanted to do it, and now she talks about it all the time, and she does it as easy as drinking a glass of water. And we've seen so many people want to pray. I've not had one person in Greenwich say they didn't want to pray or they didn't want a prayer, and we prayed for them. And we've seen people come to Jesus, and it's been fantastic. It's been such a great honour to be able to be part of that. So what are we facing issues with? We're facing issues with rehousing. There's not enough homes. That ties on to the work that we do. The house charges are astronomical. If you've got one extra bedroom, even if it's as small as the little cupboard where we store everything in the back of the church, the local council will charge you a tax for having that. It's called the bedroom tax. People can't afford it. So we have to go in and we have to do a discretionary housing payment if the council can do it. If they can't, it's just another thing that goes on top of everything else. PIP is a really difficult thing. If you've got it, it's amazing. Getting it is a real struggle. A 40-page document, then there's an assessment. Then after the assessment, you still get told, no, you have to take it to a tribunal. It's degrading. It's awful. But people need it to survive, especially if they've got a medical condition. The hardest way to get PIP, if you suffer from a mental health condition, which majority of our clients do, the hardest thing to do is to get PIP, even though on the PIP application form, it gives examples of mental health. It's one of the hardest things we're trying to do to change. So how can you help us in Greenwich? Well, if you want to, you can give money. We don't shout out about it, but yes, we do need funding because everything we do for our clients is free. We don't charge them for it, even to get them debt-free. Other things that you can do is you can pray. You can join our prayer list. I've got a prayer list on WhatsApp, and you can hear updates about where we are. None of our clients' details are disclosed, but we tell people we're going out, please pray for this person. If you want to get involved and come out with me or Beverly, you can be what we call a befriender, which is you go out, because we have to go in pairs. When we go into people's homes, we never know what we're going to see. So we have to go in twos. Sometimes we have dogs that jump all over me and sit next to me, and they say, oh, he's never done that before, and they'll fall asleep. Sometimes they have cats, and Beverly has to run to the bathroom and take a Pyrotin tablet. But if you want to become a befriender and come out and see the process, you can do. If you're interested in becoming a debt coach and actually physically do the work that I do, you can do. We also have volunteers for another group that we do, which is Life Skills, where we teach people how to manage on a budget, how to do simple things like reading their meters. They don't know how to read their water meter, their gas meter, their electricity meter. We teach them that. We also teach them how to cook on a budget. And we bring people into a community, because at CAP, what we want to do is to bring people into a loving community. Because sometimes poverty can isolate you, or it can attract the wrong type of people. And trying to get out of that is really difficult. So we try to make little communities of people. We do that through Life Skills or inviting them to the church. You could train with us as a Life Skills coach. You can volunteer as a Life Skills coach. All these things are done during the week. You could also train, if you want, on how to teach finance, personal finance. We do something called the money course, or the money coaching as it's now called. If you want to get involved in that, I don't do that course. Beverly runs that. I run the life skills. But if you're interested in learning how to help people manage their money, and that's anybody, no matter whether you're in poverty or not, we run courses throughout the year. And you can get trained up and you can run that course. We would help you with that. And all of the materials are over there as well. We're looking for people to advocate for people's needs. If you're any good at writing out forms, filling in forms, if you've got some experience of benefits, or you just want to help see justice prevail for people that really need it, who can't read or write, come and talk to me. We'll train you up on how to do that, and you can help us fill in the forms. We need somebody to do our social media. There is only two of us running around doing everything, and a lot of the time we spend with our clients. And we also need some trustees. We've got three trustees, but we're looking for more. So if you're interested, and being a trustee of CAP, of Debt Centre Greenwich, is probably about four meetings a year. So if you'd like to be involved in that, come and see me, and I can give you a trustee pack. But that's what you can do locally for us. But what is God calling you to? Is he calling you to step up, interact, get involved? I tell you something, I thought I knew God, but I didn't. Not until I started doing this work. It's extremely humbling, because God shows himself through the people that we're serving. Not for me standing up here telling you everything, by getting your hands dirty, by rolling up your sleeves and mucking in. So I want to thank you for listening to me, ranting on about poverty and what we're doing. It's not to big me up. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about God making a difference in many people's lives in this entire borough. So I want to ask you to join with me in closing in prayer. And we just ask the Lord just to stir our hearts. And if you are moved today by anything, by getting involved, not only with CAP, but there's lots of things. There's the food bank, the winter night shelter. If you're interested in working with young people, there's Greenwich Youth for Christ. There's lots of projects in Greenwich. We're really blessed. But Father, I want to thank you for the example of your son Jesus. Thank you for his deep compassion on the crowd of people that he met on the shores of Galilee, and how you invite us to put the same compassion into action today. We pray that we, your church, would respond in faith to your calling to meet the practical needs of those suffering in debt and poverty around us. We ask that we would be transformed by Jesus' love and example, as we are, that we may act in faith to see precious individuals in our communities freed from poverty and transformed by the incredible compassion that Jesus has. Amen. Thank you.